huge savings on new and previously leased furnishings. That's right, huge savings. At Court Furniture Clearance Center, choose from our wide variety of new and previously leased furniture and decor for your home or office. You'll find sofas from $199.99 and more. Everything in our 9,000 square foot showroom is Court certified, guaranteed, and in stock, ready for delivery or to take home today. Visit our Chandelier Court Furniture Clearance Center at 13946 Lee Jackson Memorial Highway or go online at courtclearancefurniture.com. Mention Radio 20 and get 20% off.
Welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo. Episode 159 is upon us. And I'm, you know, as always, I have catchphrases. As always, that's a good bit. That's kind of like my ultimate catchphrase right there. As always, I'm excited to talk to you guys because this is my little downtime where I can be like, hey, let's talk with my friends on the interwebs about the things that are important. And I'm going to share with you an interview I did with YouGod from the Wu-Tang Clan that I recorded back in March right before the Twins came out. And I didn't get a chance to publish it because I was a little busy. Catchphrase. You know, because you're going to change a lot of diapers. There's a lot of diapers going on. But him and I have he has such an interesting, powerful, passionate story that I was just sucked into it. And with my radio interviews, again, I only get 8 to 9 minutes. And it's really tough to talk about tough subjects in that time because you have to break down the barriers with your interview subject and then kind of throw in a good question. You know, you gotta throw a few softballs at them to get everybody warmed up because you don't know. I mean, sometimes they're just sitting at a desk with a phone and they're just rattling through interviews and everything's the same. And they're just like, here's my catchphrase. This is my talking point. This is my talking, buy my book, blah, blah, blah. But this was one of the times where I was like, we hit a sweet spot, but it was right at the end. And then you're like, and we're done. And so I apologize for how short this interview is, but it is still, there's so much good stuff in there. And I just love talking to artists, musical artists, because it's something that I'm not familiar with, or as I'm a big fan of, because like just getting into the mindset of that creativity, playing the guitar or, you know, nailing a beat or flowing, you know, I'm not even going to attempt to rap lingo. You, but like those are the things that I really enjoy is them explaining the little details and what makes something epic musically. And that's where I'm like, oh, I get super excited because I have no clue what any of that stuff is. But I like it. It's just to get a little glimpse of that, you know, I mean, because in hockey, and this is badly, you know, I'm not really good at hockey. Don't want to profess that I am good at hockey, but like, you do sometimes get a sweet spot, or you like, I can see a sweet spot when somebody's swinging a baseball bat. So I can see it. And you know, sometimes your day kind of lines up where you hit every green light. Like there's at different levels, we all hit sweet spots or we all get in a groove where you're like, damn, I just rock that shit. But to like hear, you know, a rap artist or a hip hop artist talk about those different moments, it's a whole nother level. And the same thing. I mean, I've talked to some, you know, rock acts and other musically talented acts. And just, I love talking to them about like, hey, talk to me about when you're in the groove. Tell me what that feels like to you emotionally and like what it feels like when you're going through it and like what, you know, like it's basically the rest of the world melts away. And that's gotta be like one of the most amazing feelings ever. You know, for me, when I'm playing hockey and I'm in goal and I'm just like, a fucking tennis player, or not a tennis player, like a ping pong player with two paddles. I'm like, bing, 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 you know, like deflecting pucks left and right. I'm like, this is awesome. But sometimes it lasts for a whole game, but it never lasts for a whole game where you're just like, bing, bing, bing. Cause you know, stopping a hockey puck is hard. And plus I'm not that good, but sometimes the puck looks like a beach ball to you. And you're just like, I own it. Or the same thing. You know, if you're playing kickball, the kickball looks like something bigger than a kickball. I'm not really sure what that is. I'm trying to think of another sport that I don't know, I've ever dominated. Or, you know, it's, Hockey's what I've been knowing, doing. You know, I mean, you get on fire, NBA jams, or you get on fire. Boom, I'm on fire. I guess I've done video games. I've only done that hockey when I skated out. I've gotten on fire a few times where I'm like, I'm going to like will the puck through somebody. But again, I'm not really good. I play against really shitty talent because I'm really shitty. So I'm only beating the shittier people. So it's just, but you know, sometimes you're just like, yeah, I just scored 3 shitty goals and this is awesome. But again, I'm going on a tangent about my life. And but you got stick around for that interview. Like, it is so good. And it's one of my favorites. I mean, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar interview is still my favorite. That's like where I was like, oh my God, this is the most amazing interview I've ever had. But transitioning, I ran Spider-Geddon 2 this week. Oh, I was really excited. And then I was like, oh. I was like, you know, because not a lot happened. A lot of talky. And I'm not a really big fan of the Inheritors and that Spider-Verse and the spider totems and all that stuff. So, I mean, it would take a little bit for me to, like, get attached to it. And I thought that there would be more action, and there really wasn't. And Spider-Gwen, not really attached to her. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to think. Miles Morales, I was like, oh, my God, really? If they kill him, like, that would be... You know, that would be horrible, but I'm like, oh, that would be like really ballsy. And they didn't even come close. They were just like, oh no, we gotta get him. Spider-Ham, I feel like he's gonna get killed off, and then I'm just gonna be even more pissed about it. So sorry guys. I need to drink a little bit of my inspiration today. But Spider-Geddon 2 is getting a thumbs down for me. Oh, I forgot the biggest thing, catchphrase. Is that I'm reading the book, and every other page it's like, hey, check out this book for more information, or check out this book for more information. And I was like, no, this is the main story arc. I shouldn't have to check out more information from other books. And I felt like I was reading a book that was basically telling me to go read 4 other books. And that's what got me really upset. And that's what gives it double thumbs down now. Spider-Geddon. Boo. Things. Okay, so we criticize. So let's give a compliment. I'm giving the compliment out to The Rookie. It's on ABCs. ABCs. I have a 2-year-old. And guess what? We're talking about our ABCs. The Rookie is on ABC Network on Tuesday night and stars Nathan Fillion as a early 40s male that questions his life, quits his job, and then becomes an LA detective to find happiness. That premise sounds horrible, and it just sounded horrible to begin with. But the first episode, it had some like little feelings in it for me. I like Nathan Fillion. I might have seen like 5 episodes of Castle, but I like Firefly, and I've seen him in a few other things pop up. But I like him as a person, you know. And I was like, okay, this could be something interesting, you know. This is a debate that I have internally with myself is what do you do at 40 when you don't get bit by a radioactive spider? What, you know, when you don't get drafted by the Chicago Bears, or you know, you don't become a professional athlete, or, you know, you're not on ESPN. Not that I ever aspired to be on ESPN, but like when those dreams fade away, like, what do you do? Like, what is that like nice happiness thing? You know, because I don't want to be a little league dad who's living vicariously through my daughter. I mean, because Christ, we only have like the 3-year window to dominate. You know, I mean, because there really isn't anywhere else to go for a girl in baseball. You know, that's why we're going to dominate those 3 years. Yeah, we're going to throw high and tight. There's going to be a pitcher, and I'm just going to be like, listen, you just throw at their heads, and then you like throw some strikes, and then just domination. It's going to be awesome. Watch out, guys. I'm not living vicariously through my daughter at all. Nope. We didn't go to gymnastics today, and the gymnastics instructor was like, hey, you know, your daughter's really good. We want to move her up to that 3-year-old class because we see some potential. And I was like, Olympic potential, or just like, you know, like bottom rung competition potential? Like, what is this potential that you see? Kidding. This is not happening. This is not happening at all. Because I have 2 other daughters. And so if the first one fails, well, there's the other ones. It's next woman up in my house. One goes down. But no, seriously, going back to The Rookie, You know, there's a lot of questions going on, you know, in the world, you know, where we're questioning like where we belong, where we stand, you know, with the Me Too, you got the white male contingent that feels left behind, you know, you got the influx of diversity. So, I mean, like, where does like a guy stand in today's world? And, you know, I mean, like, I'm sure some people would be like, you just have to be nice and just, you know, that's where a man stands. And I was like, yeah, but the definition of like being a man is kind of changing. Like, I play hockey and we make fun of each other, and we make fun of each other in a way that's like demeaning, because that's what making fun of each other kind of is. But like, where you're talking about a person's lack of masculinity and entering into the world of femininity, you know? So it's like, where, I just need somebody to write me some new jokes where it's like, hey, I'm making fun of you and your lack of skills, but I'm also not insulting women or people of different sexual orientations. You know, it's like, these are all the comments that you have to kind of like file through now. And it's fine. I mean, and it's well overdue, but it's still like a I don't know. It's for guys, it's just different, you know. I mean, it's a different norm, and it's fine, you know, because we've won the last like 4,000 Super Bowls, I think men have, or 10,000. It's something. It's like an insane track record for men right now, that of how many times we've won the Super Bowl, like, because it's. Because we've just dominated basically everything, especially like white guys. So I have no problem with things like, hey, you're not going to win this year. It's fine. Because like, you know, we've won the past, you know, I've seen all the banners around. Like, it's fine. It's fine. Everybody will be fine. Well, not continuity, but parity in the league will be fine. You know, it's needed, you know. But we have Nathan Fillion, who's like this 40-year-old white dude trying to find his place in the world. And he has this, the same reason why I like Jack Ryan is he's just like a nice guy. He's our Captain America-esque type hero. And he's a Gen Xer. And so, I mean, like, it's, you get to a point in your life, you're like, who's my role model these days? And it's either have to be you or you have none. Like, you have to start being role models for other people. But like, here's just like it's a stupid show on ABC where I'm like, man, I like it, because like you have this 40-year-old guy struggling and he's trying to do what's right and wrong, you know, doing what's right, and everybody's trying to beat him down. It's the hero's journey. Like, it's all the things that I love, you know, but the series has a diverse cast. It has, you know, male and female, like it's got some good writing. It's a good elements in there. And like, It could have really good epic teachable moments in there. You know, like, compassion is the most important trait ever. Please, you know, like, keep telling me more about this compassion. And hopefully, like, you know, this show is leading the way on, you know, teachable moments. I don't know. Because it's a police drama. There's gray areas. There's dark times. There's wins. There's losses. And it's like, you're just trying to survive the day. And man, I don't know. I read way too heavy into it. And that's probably why I love it, because I'm reading so heavy into the show. Because I've read some reviews about it and I've Googled the people that have reviewed them. And I'm like, I'm 40, 41 for a few more, like one more week. And I've seen some 25, 26-year-old reviewers just like, be like, what the shit is this shit? And I was like, I understand why you don't get it, because it's not for you. It's for me, you know, but to not, I don't know. We all need to be open-minded. I mean, that's the whole reason why I'm a little late on the podcast, because I was into this bombing coverage that was on TV today. And that's just insane. It's just bizarro world, you know, what's going on out there right now. And yeah, we just need to have more compassion. Compassion is the key. Hey, what's the word of the day? The word of the day is compassion. All right. Let's work with that. What's that start with? C? All right. Compassion. Man, I don't want to. Do I want to tell you about Sabrina? Because I feel like it's going to be a little bit longer. Because I talked to you about The Rookie, about how I'm like, yay. And then I'm like, I wrote a review about. And just so you know, like, there, both my reviews, the first episode and the second episode, are on Monkeys Fighting Robots. I know that Spider-Gwen will have a review from Brandon Griffin, the Penguins fan. I want to say F that guy for being a Penguins fan, but it's just tough. It's tough, you know, when people think that Sidney Crosby is their hero. But, okay, so I'm all excited and elated about The Rookie. And then Netflix sent me the first couple episodes of Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, which comes out this Friday. And I wrote a review about the first episode because I didn't watch anymore, because I saw the first episode and I was like, I have an issue here. Because the premise of the show is that it's her 15th, it's her 16th birthday, so she's 15 the whole entire episode. And there's going to be this big ceremony, and she's going to decide whether or not she wants to go embrace her witchdom or embrace her human friends, you know, muggles. So I'm going to, you know, and the show is like set up really well, like great cast. The cinematography is really good. I love the opening. The opening is batshit crazy, straight out of the comic book, makes me feel so good in so many different ways. And I'm like, oh my God, I love this. And there's like scare level and tension. And I loved how they introduced the cat as her like apprentice, because, you know, I remember in this Goofy show, like the talking cat was the biggest thing. And I was like, oh my God, this is brilliant. This is really brilliant. But, and I stole that but from Aziz. I really wanted to go longer. I saw Aziz on Monday, but we'll talk about that later. But there's a scene where like she's in a tub and she has a vision, and the Sabrina, the teenage witch, and the actress that plays Sabrina, I think, is 18 or 19, you know, so, but she's in the bathtub and she's starting to have this vision, and she gets out of the bathtub, and it's a very brief scene. Like, it is literally probably like, it's probably maybe like a half a second, maybe like, if we're in a 30 frames per second, it's probably maybe 6 frames. It's like, or, you know, like right around 12 frames. But Kiriman Shipka, I'm going to butcher her name, but that's the actress. And she is, if IMDb loads up for me, she is born in 1999, Chicago, Illinois. And her mom was the one-time queen of the Chicago St. Paddy's Day Parade. That is crazy. But they relocated when she was 6. So is she considered from Chicago? I don't think so. She was born in 99, November 10th. So her birthday's coming up. So she, is she? Yeah. So 18. So she'll be 20. She'll be 20. Yeah. If I could do my math right. If I could do the math. Because if she was born in 2000, she would be 18 this year. But no, she is 18 now. And she'll be 19. So Kiriman Shipka from Chicago, Illinois. She is 18 years old, going on 19. And she gets out of the bathtub. But the whole movie, they're talking about how it's her 16th birthday. So she's 15 in the show. And you see some side boob for a half a second. And I was like, what was that? Like, it was totally not necessary to have in there. And it totally changed my dynamic of the show from seeing it. Hence, I have 3 daughters and you're sexualizing a 15-year-old. And I'm like, if this is going, I understand like the show being R-rated, but there is a moral compass when it comes to this. Like Basic Instinct, I've seen Basic Instinct. And there was a conversation with Sharon Stone, like, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. You know, but if it was like Sharon Stone as a 15-year-old, then you'd have like a huge issue. Like, Showgirls, some of the most obnoxious, you know, just glaringly obnoxious, just boob fest for boob fest or sex for sex fest. But like, they're not sexualizing 15-year-olds in a show. And here we have Netflix where it's like, hey, you're going to have a lot of 15-year-olds watch this show and they're sexualizing the character. And I'm like, oh my God. And I understand, like, I am so far removed from 15 to where like I think 15 is like a fucking toddler, but and I'm sure an 18-year-old's like, or a 17-year-old's like, ah, that's no big deal. You know, or an 18-year-old's like, eh, that's no big deal. And then like a 25-year-old's like, eh, I don't know. I mean, anybody says, anybody over 18 is like, hey, that's not that big. Then you start to question it. Start reminding me of my friend who was 19 and bought a BMW so that he could impress high school girls. That was creepazoids of creepazoids. But it just bothered me. And so I had to write a whole article on like how the show was doing so many amazing things. And then that scene happened for less than a half a second. And we're in this whole like Me Too era and Sabrina, the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And she's supposed to be like this powerful female role model. And then like you sexualize a 15-year-old girl who's supposed to be a powerful role model. And I was like, you basically did your Michael Turner cover. Not Michael Turner, because Michael Turner's passed away. Scott Loeb, Jeff Loeb, I'm blanking on the artist. Scott Campbell. You did your Scott Campbell cover of Ironheart, where you're portraying a 15-year-old girl at MIT who is a science genius as a, you know, runway model who looks like she's 25. And these little things where it's like, hey, we need to do the anti-me, you know, we need to be Me Too and we need to do all these right things. And then like Hollywood's like, here you go. Here's a 15-year-old boob that if you wanted to like slow down, you could see if you can like see a different side of the boob. And I was like, how did that get through? It's such a useless scene, but it changes everything about the series for me emotionally, where I'm just like, come on, guys. Pull your shit together. You could have filmed it a different way. You didn't need to show a side boob of a 15-year-old in your movie or in your show. Ah, it just bothered me so much. And I went to more detail. I put all my anger down on paper and I was just like, ah. And then I showed it to somebody and they're just like, well, that wasn't that bad. And I was like, well, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. So if you watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch this weekend, or actually The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina this weekend during your Halloween Horror Fest, let me know if I'm overreacting or I'm not overreacting. I mean, I think I'm always going to defend the 15-year-old girl. And again, she's only 18 and they're making her do this stuff already. I know that there's tons of 18-year-olds out there that are in other careers that are doing a lot more and I should be defending them too. And you should. Like, stop Googling, like, barely legal porn, people. Like, stop. Stop it right now. Oh, man. That's my thing on Sabrina. It was such a good show, and then that one scene came up and just ruined it for me. So, but if you think I'm going over the top, just let me know, and then we can have a debate about it. You know, check out my review on Monkeys Fighting Robots, and then, you know, you can reach me on multiple different ways. But now it's time for you, God, and his powerful conversation. So I hope you stuck it around for the 23 minutes. I know I babbled along for a long time, but you, God of Wu-Tang Clan, wants to talk to you, and I'm glad you're here to listen.
You, God, thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Yeah, hey, boss, what's up, man?
Your new book, Raw, My Journey into the Wu-Tang, is out now. Did you need to write this book, or did you want to write this book?
I don't need to write nothing. I wanted to write this book. I've been writing this book for 2.5 years. You know, I don't... People go crazy. It's like, it's crazy. If I don't do something, I'll be sitting home doing nothing, you know? I gotta do things, you know? I gotta write music. I gotta write books. You know, I have to do things. I can't just be sitting here. I'm an artist, man, you know? I have things to do at artistry-wise, you know? So I'm going to do more things than just write books and write rhymes and music, too. You know, don't be surprised. I got some other things up my sleeve, too, you know?
And your book has 19 chapters. Was there one section that was harder to put together than the others?
Well, I originally wrote 400 pages, which was exactly 23 chapters. So I had to chop down, you know, a couple of pages. You know, I had to chop down a lot of pages off of it, just so it'd be you know, manufacturally right in a good light as far as editing wise and all that. You know, this is my first book, so I really didn't know too much about, you know, the book game. about, you know, how to structure certain things, paragraphs and all that. So when I took it in, I had to get a lot of stuff chopped off because I had run on sentences, you know, periods in the wrong places, I forgot what you call that stuff. Anyway, that's what it was.
And my background is sports, so I love talking to creators in like a sports like kind of format. So growing up, how did you practice your craft, and what did you do to perfect it?
You're talking about which one? Because I have a lot of crafts I practice.
Let's talk the lyrics. Let's talk lyrics.
Yes. Okay, lyrics, rhymes. Basically, my origin, I'm a dancer, right? That's number one. Number two, after that, I'm a beatboxer, which gives me rhythmic patterns. I know about rhythmic patterns. Then secondly, I had at first, I didn't like my voice, you know? So it took me time to love my voice. Then once I was able to love my voice, then I was able to bend it and mold it and shape it in any which form or fashion. You know what I mean? Now, then came the word structure. Now, then comes the word structure, and I take that from everyday life I live. You know, everything, life I live or the things I've been through or I take from, you know, everyday situations I go through. So I apply that to all my music and everything I do, and it enables me to do things. So, you know, in my head, I hear doo, 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 doo all day long, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear that boop, 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 in between that, I can go in. I can go in all day. You know what I mean? And I apply words to the flows I hear in my head. And basically, I was able to just master, you know, my craft that way. And it enables me to stay relevant and do things that are relevant today, you know?
And when in other interviews, when you talk about lyrics and even just now, like you get excited and you get inspired. Can you explain to the listener what it feels like when you're in the zone lyrically freestyling?
Well, when I'm in the zone, I'm home with my little drinky drink and my little spliff or whatever, and I'm just sitting there and I have an epiphany moment, something to talk about. Or I might have got in an argument with my girl, or I might have got chased by the police, or I might have, you know, or I might have just went through some bullshit. I mean, pardon me, bull crap that I went through. And I just apply it, you know, and I can't explain where the creativity comes from. It just comes out of nowhere, you know, and I just apply it, you know.
And for the month of March, you have a book tour. On March 29th, you will be at the Staten Island Barnes & Nobles. What's that day going to be like?
Well, Staten Island, Staten Island, man. Staten Island is like a damn anchor. They will not let me go, you know. They just will not let me go. They just love me on Staten Island. I haven't been on Staten Island in like 15 years. You know, I don't live out there no more. I have nothing to do with Staten Island. But for some apparent reason, they just love me, you know. But Staten Island is my home. And, you know, I was raised in Brooklyn and Staten Island. So those are my two places where I spilled my adolescence and my youth and all that goodness, you know. And a lot of situations came out of Staten Island, you know. A lot of imagination came out of Staten Island. So I can't even front. But at the same time, yeah, I'll be there.
In researching for our conversation, I came across an interview from 2009 where you say New York has lost its swagger. 10 years later, how's New York doing?
Well, New York is slowly but surely trying to find himself again. You know, after the towers got ripped down, it just seemed like we just womp, 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 womp. You know, we just womped out.
Yeah.
You know, I can't explain it, but slowly but surely, you're creeping back out there, you know, and it's you know, we're supposed to be the mecca of rhymes. It's supposed to be the mecca of lyrics. And, you know, it just sometimes, you know, things just change. And you just got to keep up with the times and keep rolling, you know.
Lamont, my daughter is 2 years old right now. I could not comprehend her getting shot.
Lord have mercy.
How did you emotionally keep it together when your son got shot?
Oh, I didn't. I was nuts. I went crazy, man. I wouldn't even explain the nuts I went. You know, it's a touching situation, man. I'm still kind of, you know, distorted from the event. By you talking about it, somebody, I had to get rid of it in the book, so I put it in the book. And, you know, the legacy, I'm going to leave all that stuff behind for my boys and my babies and all that. That's another reason why I'm doing the things I do. because, you know, it's about leaving something behind for my kids and stuff like that, you know. So, but how I put up with it, how I went through it, oh, man, I didn't know nothing about therapy. I basically self-medicated, smoked weed, you know, drank a little bit. I'm not really a drinker, but I really smoked a lot of marijuana and just basically buried my emotions for a long time. And then one day it just came out, you know. I kind of lost it a little bit and wound up, you know, going into the hospital. And that's when I got, you know, got hip to, you know, therapy and a lot of stuff. I didn't know nothing about therapy, man. I didn't know nothing about you can talk about certain situations and that there was people out there that you can actually talk to about, you know, certain things when you're going through certain things and you need, you know, you need a shoulder, not to cry on, but somebody to talk to. And that you know, so you don't feel like you're going crazy. Because a lot of times, you know, as men, when things happen, we kind of like shut down. We go in a little hole in the wall. We go in a little back cave and just get quiet. You know, the wifey might come out and say, "What's wrong, darling?" And you just go deeper into this, you know, into your quiet spell. Whereas women talk to the point you're like, shut up. You don't even want to hear him talking damn much. But they don't know. We the total opposites. You know, we go in and we shut down. So that's basically what I did, too. I just shut down. And then I had to, slowly but surely, as time went on, I started realizing as my son grew, because once he graduated, you know, he went to college and graduated film and all that stuff. And he got his life together, got him a girlfriend. He's running around. You know, he has little situations that he's going through, but I'm just proud of him in certain situations that he had overcame a lot of, you know, things he's still going through. But he's still a tough dude, and he's not, you know, he beat a lot of things, man. He's just sitting home, you know, teaching and doing things. I'm so proud of him, man, that he overcame a lot of things that he's went through.
Thank you so much for your time, and best of luck with the book.
Boss man, thank you for even having me. That's it? It's over? That fast?
That's my time, man. I'm done.
Man, I felt like you just came in. I didn't even get a dinner. I didn't get a chance to date. Like, I got a date. Just what happened? It's over. That's it. It's over. Man, that was a fast date.
Take care, my friend.
You too, man.
That was You God, and his book is out right now. If you want to go to Amazon and check it out. Whew, man, I re-listened that thing like 3 or 4 times. It still gets me every time, man. I wouldn't know what the hell to do if my kid got shot. And it was stupid things. I gave my kids a walk today, and I was like, there's a guy walking his dog across the street, and I was like, what if the dog attacked my kids? It's like, I mean, you freak out as an adult. You freak out as a parent, man. It is fucking crazy. But again, I thank you guys so much for checking out the podcast. I appreciate all the time you guys take and commenting and retweeting and sharing and liking and all this stupid, silly shit that I ask you guys to do and put up with. And I hope you guys make it worth it. I'm hoping I'm making it worth it for your time. And this is the Monkey's Friend Robot. This is the Monkey's Friend Robots podcast. I'm Matt Sardo. You guys are the interwebs. You guys are my family. Thank you so much. And I'll talk to you guys next week.